Welcome back, Birds 365. Mark Farzetta, John McMullen, and joining us right now, SI.com. Ed Kratz joins us. What's going on, Ed? How you doing?
Hey, Mark, how's it going? John, good morning to you.
Good morning, Ed. I just sent you a not safe for work text. I was hoping I'd get you to laugh on air, but maybe not.
Please show the camera, Ed. No,
all right. Do not. can't do that.
See it here. I was. All right. Yeah. So moving right along here. Draft in what, 8 days? Yeah. 7 days, something like that. So
right. Right. Yeah. Lots of day. Yeah. Here we are.
There we go. Ed, I got to ask this. When you talk about a nice long press conference like you get yesterday with Nick Sirianni, with the Howie Roseman fella, when you look at and listen to everything, did it have you swayed any way to thinking where the Eagles are going to go with that 22nd overall pick, with that asset, whether they move up or down, whatever? Where are they going? Did it sway you in any direction?
Yeah. You know, that Howie Roseman fella seemed to indicate to me, and I walked out of there after the conference, press conference, and said to John, I think you're taking Tyler Guyton.
Yeah. There we go. mentioned that. I didn't mention it was you, but yeah. I said, because yeah. Mark had the same thought.
Oh, really? Well, that's, yeah. You know, great minds, right?
Yeah.
But that's kind of my impression is, you know, listen, the Eagles drafted Cam Jurgens after Jason Kelce sort of gave him a glowing review. And, of course, Kelce had enough cachet in that building to, you know, offer that sort of opinion, and the Eagles bought it. So I think they might do the same with Lane Johnson. I mean, Lane Johnson – and Tyler Guyton, I mean, Johnson's Guyton's mentor. They both went to the University of Oklahoma. They're close. Howie and Nick both talked about the ability to bring in a young player to pick the brain, so to speak, of a veteran player, kind of like Cameron Jurgens did with Kelce, Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis did with Fletcher Cox. So to me, they're going to probably bring in a guy who's going to pick the brain of Lane Johnson to eventually take over his job. Now, you could say you would rather have a player that can kind of play guard while you're developing him to become the right tackle, because you're going to draft this project or whatever you want to call him in Tyler Guyton, and he's probably going to sit for 2 years. I mean, Lane Johnson is still a Pro Bowl player. The problem is he's been getting hurt a little bit these last couple of years, so you know, you could probably plug in Guyton if he does get hurt, but you might want to have somebody that can play guard and be able to swing out to tackle in 2 years or 3 years when Lane Johnson hangs it up. And to me, that player would probably be like a J.C. Latham out of the University of Alabama. He's a big, strong guy. You can put right in the interior there, but can swing out to tackle when that time comes. If you know, he's not won the job at guard. I mean, we saw Landon Dickerson was supposed to be the center when they drafted him, and he made such a home at left guard. They're keeping him there. At least I think they're keeping him there. I think Jurgens is going to be the center on this team.
Unless you're Bob, but, unless you're Bob Groats, who thinks, even though Jordan Mailata told us, laughed and said, Landon's staying at left guard. Yeah. They don't want to mess with Jordan and Landon Dickerson. But how he did, Ed, get a couple times got a little bit surly. We were talking about Dave's question with Hassan Reddick, which was very fair. We'll get into that and how he got surly about it. But he also doesn't like the thought when people say they redshirt people. And he brought up Landon Dickerson because Landon wasn't supposed to play, but Brandon Brooks got hurt and then Isaac got hurt. And he ended up playing essentially the whole season. And they were off and running with Landon Dickerson. Cam Jurgens, on the other hand, nobody got hurt. And he did sort of redshirt. And how he mentioned, that's probably an indication things are going really well. But you always have to get guys ready to play. So from that perspective, I would think they'd rather have Latham, as you mentioned, for that reason, could probably start him at right guard. Than Guyton, who's probably strictly a right tackle.
Yeah, well, I agree. The problem is I'm not sure Latham's going to be there at 22. So, you know, Howie's going to have to do what Howie always does, and that's trade up a few spots. I mean, he's traded up in, I think, 4 of the last 5 drafts. So, sure, if he can find a trade partner, maybe the Rams at 19, There's talk that the Bengals could take Latham at 18, so maybe you have to get ahead of the Bengals if you really want J.C. Latham. But, yeah, to me, he makes the most sense. And, you know, maybe even Graham Barton.
I love Graham Barton. I'm on the Graham Barton train. I ran that past Zach Berman yesterday, and he snickered at me, basically. Thanks, Zach. But
are you sure that was Graham Barton that he was snickering about, your opinion? Or maybe, you know, you had something in your mustache
possibly a little piece
of food or something.
No, well, the thought is Howie's not taking an interior offensive lineman, which I get. He probably isn't. But if you trade down, you know, why not? Why not? Yeah. I that guy to me is one of the safest picks in the draft, and he's like day one starter right guard.
Absolutely. Love his size. Love his 6'5", 315. I mean, that's perfect guard size. And you know, we talk about drafting someone that can come in and play guard early and then flop out to right tackle. There's no guarantee that if this player comes in and wins this right guard job, that he's going to get moved to right tackle. They still have time to bring in Lane Johnson's eventual replacement if this player excels at guard. And, you know, Barton is an interior player. I don't think he can play tackle at the NFL level, but maybe. I just don't think he's got the weight at this point. I think he'd have to add, you know, maybe 10 pounds, which he probably could do. But I just think that, yeah, he's a ready-made player. Trade down if you have to. And another trade down candidate, I think, would be a Cooper DeJean. I mean, they haven't you know, I love Cooper DeJean. I think he's a good player. I think he'd be a great fit for this team, for a lot of teams. But I think he could be someone, if Howie does trade down, that maybe keep an eye on that spot, that cornerback spot with Latham, maybe Kool-Aid McKinstry if he's still there. I mean, McKinstry's an interesting cat. He's kind of been mocked all over the board, you know, early second round.
He's got the medical issue. So you never know if the medical people get involved and say, we can't take this kid. But it's impressive. You can run I think he ran a 4.47 with a Jones fracture in his foot. So maybe.
And Cooper DeJean's got he's coming off of the tibula fracture or something in the leg. Yeah. And, you know, he participated in his pro day. But listen, the Eagles do their work on the medical. They drafted Dickerson, who was coming off a torn ACL, his second one, I think, late in this last season at Alabama. So they drafted him, and he's held up just fine. So they'll do their homework, and if there's any red flags, they won't take him. But, you know, as far as we can tell, McKinstry and DeJean are ready to go.
See, one thing I will say is that I think they will take them just in the second round. When you talk about the injuries with cornerbacks in particular, this is, we got an injury with a cornerback. That means we could get him in the second round. We could still get value. And I'm not saying this is the outcome I want, but it's the Sidney Jones philosophy of top-tier talent. But
well, you're negative, Mark. See, how we went to Landon Dickerson, you went to Sidney Jones.
Right. So no, I understand.
It doesn't always work out.
I'm just talking about the cornerback position, for instance.
And Sidney's situation was different, right? He tore the Achilles March, you know, and you knew that he wasn't going to be ready to go anytime before December, if then. I think he came back and played the last regular season game. But you knew you were getting a guy that you were absolutely going to have to medically redshirt. Mm-hmm. It would be different with DeJean and McKinstry. I think these guys are ready to go day one.
When you do look at the offensive line, just to look at that again,
when
you look at the depth chart, and the philosophy of drafting Lane Johnson's replacement now really doesn't make sense to me, because you don't know what could fall on your lap over the next 2-3 seasons. And
absolutely,
I don't think the Eagles are going to be a horrible football team where they're going to have a top tier pick in the very near future. So looking at Lane's replacement now doesn't make a lot of sense for a couple of reasons. One, he's still playing at an incredible level. Mm-hmm. And two, you're going to be good. This football team is going to be good. So why would I make that investment now, especially if Lane Johnson's career, he wants to go for another 3-4 years playing for the Philadelphia Eagles, which is very possible. So even entertaining that idea seems odd to me. So looking at the depth chart now for this Eagles team, we know they need depth, but as of their front five, their starting five, what do you make of it with the idea of who's going to be your right guard? Will it be Matt Hennessy? Will it be Tyler Steen? I think we all agree we're looking at Cam Jurgens as the center. But when you look at that right guard spot, who do you think is the favorite to take over that position?
Yeah, right now it's probably Matt Hennessy, I would say. I mean, I think Hennessy was pretty good down in Atlanta. Now, he missed all of last year with an injury, you know, so there's going to be some, you know, build-up time, ramp-up time for him to kind of get back into NFL conditioning. But, yeah, that's what OTAs and training camp and, you know, all that stuff is for, and he'll get there. And I think, you know, there didn't seem to be a lot of I don't want to say love, but there just didn't seem to be a level of, hey, we're committed to Tyler Steen to start at right guard. It was when Nick Sirianni was talked to at the breakfast for the coaches down at the owners' meetings, he's just, you know, he likes him, I think, as a reserve player. I think they think he can kind of be, you know, that top reserve, kind of like, you know, Jack Driscoll and Sua Opeta were. And, you know, let's remember the Eagles lost three guys on this offensive line, and they've really only brought in one guy to, you know, restock the cupboard, if you will. So I think they're going to come out and they're going to get somebody on that O-line, whether it's Lane Johnson's ultimate replacement. I don't know, but I'm with you though, Mark. I think, you know, why worry about replacing Johnson now in 2024 when he could play another 3 years? The concern always though with Lane is the injuries. You know, he seems to get banged up, you know, from time to time. He's 34 years old. He's, you know, eventually going to be replaced. We don't know when that is. The Eagles were drafting Kelsey's replacement for years. I mean, Isaac Ciamalo, then Landon Dickerson.
Isaac was the first heir apparent.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, they could take a swing at Tyler Guyton. But I think it makes more sense, like I said, and I think we agree, is to get somebody that can play guard and, if need be, flop out to Johnson's right tackle spot in 2 years. And you're picking Johnson's brain. They gave Kelsey kind of that respect to bring in his replacement. Maybe they do the same with Lane, show him that kind of respect and bring in his ultimate replacement, somebody he signs off on. So that's why I could see them going with Guyton in this draft.
By the way, I think people really turn the page quickly now. And everybody's like, oh, Tyler Steen. They can't. I mean, I think they still value Tyler Steen, even if it comes into – you know, he played right tackle for years at Vanderbilt before he transferred to Alabama and played left tackle. Now the Eagles have started him at guard. So he might turn into that versatile backup piece and be able to slide in at guard or tackle like Jack Driscoll was. So, yeah, I'm surprised how quickly. And Nolan Smith even more so. People are like, oh, no, Nolan Smith. And Nolan will lead me into that segue of Howie Surly answer to Dave Uram's question about the Hassan Reddick trade. Look, I got it from both ends. It was a legitimate question. Nothing wrong with that question. And I get Howie's frustration because everybody wants to compartmentalize every move, and that's probably frustrating for a GM. Howie's been doing this for a long time, Ed. He's got to handle that better, doesn't he?
Yeah, you would think he would handle that better. I thought it was kind of a snippy answer. But, I thought that the question might have been a little bit, I don't know, maybe he kind of felt like he was attacked by that question. I don't know. And maybe that made him feel a little bit uncomfortable when he really shouldn't. He's should be the most comfortable GM in the NFL. I mean, he's got, you know, the get out of jail free card for however long Jeffrey Lurie continues to oversee this franchise. And who knows how much longer that will be. I know it's a topic for another time, but you know, you don't know when Julian Lurie, his son, takes over, what that relationship with Howie will be. Will he be as tight with Julian as Howie is with Jeffrey? I don't know, but that's a talk for another time, I guess. But I thought he should have handled it better, just answered it as professionally as possible. He didn't have to kind of chirp back. But listen, I mean, if he felt like he was attacked, then that's how he lashed out. I thought the question was maybe better phrased a little later. I think it was Ruben Frank who said, listen, you do have this luxury of being a general manager who's comfortable with his job. And does that make you feel comfortable kind of balancing trading someone like Hassan Reddick for a pick in 2026, where a lot of GMs, you know, they have to make moves for the here and now because there's Joe no guarantee Douglas. They will be here after the season, right? Yeah. We know how we will be. So he can afford to look down the road at 2026. And that probably should have been his answer is, you know, hey, you know, I feel comfortable.
Well, Howie hates to admit that. And I don't know why. Like, we all know it. I mean, it's not, there's nothing wrong with it. And I do think, you know, Ruben kind of coaxed him a little bit by saying, look, Jeffrey really trusts you. So it's a compliment, you know, essentially.
Yeah.
You have more job security than, say, Joe Douglas, who's got to make moves now to win right now.
Right.
And that's why Hassan Reddick's with the Jets. And you can take it. I don't understand why he's got trouble admitting that. It's actually a positive for him because yeah. he's earned that right.
Right. I can see his side, though. And, you know, listen, the minute you start feeling comfortable is the minute, you know, next thing you know, the piano's falling on your head, you know. So, you know, you can't. I mean, I'm sure he feels comfortable, but I don't think he can come out and say, yeah, you know, hey, I got kind of a lifetime job here. I mean, you can't really say that.
That would be a better answer. That would be a better answer. I'm here for a lifetime. I can do whatever I want. What are you kidding me?
You never right. know. With Julian, Jeffrey is in very good shape for his age and looks very good, but he's getting older. He's past 70. He's not going to be around forever. And Julian might like somebody else.
Huh? Yeah. I don't know what the relationship is with Julian and Howie. Is it on par with Jeffrey and Howie? I don't know. And how much does it matter? I mean, again, I don't know. I mean, these are all questions that we'll have to ask at some point. Sooner probably rather than later.
Well, one is my son. The other won me a Super Bowl 2 years after Chip Kelly. Jeez, who do I love more? No.
By the way, that's a no-brainer, the GM that got you the Super Bowl.
That's Chip Kelly, right? All right, away from offensive line, let's just live in a fantasy world where we think they might take someone who's not an offensive lineman there at 22 or with that 21st or 22nd overall pick. If they were going to go, let's say, so we talked about corner a little bit there with Cooper DeJean, whatever, and he goes out there and he doesn't take an offensive lineman. Is there a player that you feel will be that kind of sexy name, that splash player? That like, it's hard to get excited about an offensive lineman that might play. Is there somebody you think in this draft that there's still a likelihood, a little bit of an opportunity there for the Eagles that they would actually take with that 22nd overall asset, whether that be an edge rusher, linebacker? Is there another player out there that you could see the Eagles going after?
Yeah, you know, for years I'd love to see a linebacker, you know, and Patrick Queen was coming out. Hey, take Patrick Queen. I mean, Kenneth Murray, everybody loved Kenneth Murray. Now his career hasn't gone the way, you know, I think it was the Chargers who took him would have hoped. I would love to see a linebacker, but, Edger and Coop.
At Nutrafol, we don't just help your hair, we help your body grow it. Because it's never just about your hair. It can be your job or your deodorant or your lunch. Or just normal life. That's why our whole body approach targets the key root causes of hair thinning. Discover your root causes and why we're the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com. These statements have not been approved by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease paid for by Nutraceutical Wellness, Inc.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Cooper, everybody seems to love Edger and Cooper. Will he be there at pick 50 for the Eagles? I'm not so sure. Peyton Wilson has the medical issue. You know, again, we talked about how concerning that can be. But, you know, when you talk about sexy pick, it's, you know, how about a receiver? You know, we're not talking about receivers because the Eagles are paying two very good receivers top end money with A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. But they still don't have really, in my opinion, anybody. I know they signed, you know, Parker and Paris Campbell here as free agents, one-year deals, no real long-term commitment. You know, they have Britton Covey, who hasn't seen more than a handful of snaps at receiver. But they still need to address, I think, that position and you know, start to bring someone along, someone to pick the brain, like we talked about with the Kelce and Cox being the guys whose brains were picked. Bring in a receiver and let him pick Devontae's brain and A.J. Brown's brain. And we don't know the future of A.J. Brown. You hope that they can come to some sort of a restructure after this season, the Eagles and him, because his cap hit is about to hit the roof at $26 million next year, $41 million in 2026. So, you know, those aren't sustainable numbers. You're going to have to redo something. What will they do? Can they figure it out? I mean, Devontae Smith's cap charge is ridiculously low.
It's unbelievable. It is unbelievable.
Yeah, Howie Roseman is just a wizard with this stuff. He really is.
See, I ripped Howie early in the show, but I've also, and basically the Eagles will focus on my ripping of Howie, I've also called him the best GM in the NFL. And the way he gets these contracts done, it's unbelievable. Yeah. It is unbelievable. We're all talking about, can you pay two wide receivers $25 million? He's laughing in the background. These idiot teams are worried. The Vikings can't sign Jefferson, the Bengals can't sign Chase, the 49ers can't sign Brandon Ayuk, the Cowboys have to work out something with CeeDee Lamb. On and on. By the time Devontae Smith makes $25 million a year, which will be 2026, he will be so grossly underpaid, it will look like the best deal in the history of wide receivers.
Yeah, I agree. But to answer your question, Mark, I think receiver is a sexy pick. I don't think they'll go receiver in the first round. But, geez, I mean, if Brian Thomas or someone they really like is sitting there, maybe they could jump in the second round. You know, someone told me that if, you know, this class is so deep in offensive tackles and wide receivers that if you really need one of those two positions, this is the draft to make sure you get them, and you have to probably get them early. So, you know, it could be kind of a sneaky need for the Eagles, the receiver spot that no one is talking about now that, you know, they've got two of the best in the game locked down for the next couple of seasons. But again, if you're playing on that model that Howie talked about, bring in the young guy to pick the veteran's brain, certainly receiver makes sense.
It just came down. Jalen Hurts is going to speak today, Ed Kratz. Now, along with Sixers playing day, that makes it a bigger day. Jalen Hurts is going to talk for the first time. Ed Kratz, what's the first question you want to ask Jalen? Is it about Kellen Moore, Doug Musmeyer? Is it about his offseason? Do you want to re-churn what the hell went on at the end of last season? What went wrong? Jalen kind of goes under the radar because there's been so many other splashy stories. We're talking about the draft, Saquon Barkley coming in, Hassan Reddick getting traded. And Jalen Hurts is just a flat line, but he's got to bounce back. And to me, the Eagles are a significant Super Bowl contender if Jalen Hurts plays like he did in 2022. If he plays like he did at the end of last season, I don't care about Saquon Barkley. I don't care about Bryce Huff. I don't care even if he has 15 sacks. They're not going to be a Super Bowl contender. What do you want to ask Jalen Hurts?
Well, you touched on the questions, although I don't think I would ask him about what happened at the end of last year. I mean, I think you'd just be wasting your breath. You know, Devontae was asked that yesterday, and he's like, hey, I'm looking ahead to this year, the past is the past. And I think Jalen would just say the same thing. I would like to know about Kellen Moore and, you know, how, and again, it's early in this process, right? They've only been together since Monday. I'm sure they've communicated a bunch via text or phone or however, leading up to it after, you know, Kellen Moore was hired. But I'd like to know exactly, you know, what his thoughts on Kellen Moore are and this whole, you know, change in sort of philosophy where it's going to be Kellen Moore's offense. And how well does he know Kellen Moore? I mean, I'd really like to get into Kellen Moore because Kellen Moore has not been made available to talk to us yet. You know,
shocking. Unlike
every single team, I think, in the NFL who has made their coordinators available. The Eagles just don't operate that way. It happened last year. We didn't get to talk to Desai. And,
you know, last year, by the way, Ed, I kind of got it from the perspective of, all right, these are young coaches. It was a long season. You went to the Super Bowl, you could say, all right, all that kind of stuff factors into it. Now you got Vic, who's been coordinating since 1945, and Kellen Moore, who's a longtime offense. I mean, come on, these guys can do a press conference in their sleep. Yeah. What is this team afraid of?
Competitive advantage, John. I'm sure it's something to do with competitive advantage. But, yeah, I think we'll probably end up getting them on the rookie minicamp weekend. That was when, the two guys last year were made available. I think it was like May 11th. Yeah. But, Kellen Moore's a great mystery. I mean, we know what he's done. We've seen his body of work. Like you said, he's been coordinating for quite some time. But, now Jalen is in his offense. And, how does he feel about it? What's the lines of communication like? And, I'd like to get a little deeper with Jalen on his leadership style. We got into that kind of at the end of last season when we had Jalen in the darkened locker room after 3 or 4 hours of waiting for him to come out and talk to us. Lights were kind of dimmed inside the locker room. It's 7 o'clock at night. We've been there for hours and hours. But I would like to dive in a little bit more about the leadership side of things.
They didn't pay their generator bill. It was so late.
I just think everybody was ready to go home. And for some reason, that's when he came out. And that's fine. Listen, I'm not complaining. We got him. Which is important. That's the bottom line, to talk to the quarterback. But I'd like to dive into a little bit about the leadership side of things and how he, if he's done anything in the offseason, has he had a chance to reflect on how he goes about his business in the way he, sits on the sidelines? I mean, just kind of by himself. He doesn't look at an iPad, not that we're able to see. Has he thought about anything along those lines? And has he changed in his opinion somewhat in the way he leads the players? Because, there is a big leadership void now with Kelce and Cox gone. And someone's going to have to step into that void, and it's going to have to be Jalen. And what's that leadership going to look like?
And as far as Kellen Moore goes, one thing you haven't seen from Kellen Moore much in his time in the NFL as a play caller is that read option. And you see Jalen Hurts and Saquon Barkley already working out together, which, if it's not on Instagram, did it even happen? And it's on Instagram, them working out together. One of the things Saquon Barkley talked about in his introductory press conference with the Eagles was that read option and that linebacker or edge rusher having to make that decision in a fraction of a second. Okay, Jalen Hurts or Saquon Barkley, who am I going to take down? So if you're Kellen Moore, is that something that you're going to see more of? Is that something you're going to introduce into your play calling? Is that something we're going to see a little bit more of with Jalen Hurts? Or is that not just a call by Brian Johnson to not call that play or Nick Sirianni? Or is that something we're going to see again in the upcoming season?
Yeah, I think we'll see it. I think even though Kellen Moore hasn't really done that, Nick Sirianni has. And, we were led to believe this is going to kind of be a blend of offensive ideas. So Nick Sirianni's aren't just going to be thrown out the window. They're going to do it. And, Kellen Moore and Nick will work closely and how that's going to look. And we're going to see it. I mean, Saquon said that that's what we're going to see. Now, unless Saquon was completely wrong and was just assuming, hey, this is what they did in the past and this is what we're going to do again. But I think that, we're going to see it. Now, how much we're going to see it, I'd like to see Jalen Hurts under center a little bit more, and do more play action from under center or even run the ball with Saquon. I'd like to see a little bit more of that traditional under center look. But I think we're still going to see the RPO. Will we see it as much? Maybe not. I think it's going to be a week-to-week thing, and we're going to see if, they're going to plan accordingly on whoever they're facing.
At Kratz E, make sure you follow Ed on Twitter /X, SI.com, /NFL/Eagles. You can read them there. I don't know if you guys have even seen this yet, but it came out this morning. ESPN sent Don Van Natta and Seth Wickersham. So the two big time investigative reporters ESPN has, best in the business, along with Jeremy Fowler, inside Bill Belichick's failed offseason job hunt, is the piece. And the Eagles reached out to Bill Belichick. And these guys are the two best investigative reporters in the business. A source close to Belichick confirmed there was no talk, however, during the call about working for the Eagles. Howie Roseman called Bill Belichick to check in to see how he was doing. However, there was chatter in league circles that Philadelphia and Belichick could be a match. The Eagles said he still had his fastball. He nearly beat them in the 2023 season opener, as we know, with an inferior team. They also believe Belichick is going to stick around to beat Don Shula's record. And then they kind of begged off because, quote, you'll have to start over again. Who would replace him? You have to have a replacement in mind. Hasn't had a good record of developing coaches. They were afraid he'd have changed everything in the organization. You have to start from scratch. So that was the report. From my perspective, when this kind of stuff comes out, even though it doesn't seem like there was significant interest, but doesn't it put even more pressure on Nick Sirianni? Like, why are the Eagles even calling Bill? But I get it. Friends, Jeffrey Lurie is from Boston. For those who don't know, he wanted to buy the Patriots before he bought the Eagles. Has tremendous respect for Bill Belichick, as everyone does. Why? Why do the Eagles do this stuff?
Due diligence, right? I mean, Howie's in on every player. Whenever there's a player available, you know, it's always, well, the Eagles are interested in so-and-so. Howie's reached out to inquire about this player. It doesn't mean they're ready to trade or sign that player. And it's probably the same with the coaches. You know, they're reached out to a probable Hall of Fame coach, definitely a Hall of Fame coach. I mean, even though he's what?
I'm going to go definite.
Yeah.
He's a cheater. Hell with that guy.
Yeah. And the whole team was run by Brady, right? I mean, look at Belichick's record.
That's going down there. All right.
No, listen, hey, Bill Belichick's a first ballot Hall of Famer for sure, whenever that day comes. But, you know, it's just Howie, in my opinion, just reaching out, doing his due diligence. Just reached out to Bill Belichick. Say, hey, how you doing? You know, just checking in because you never know.
Is there any way that you could frame Nick Sirianni as not being a lame duck this year? He's coaching for his job.
Oh, sure. Yeah, of course he is. And you're right. Now you have this big shadow of big, bad Bill Belichick, you know, right there in your rearview mirror. Probably put some pressure on him. But Nick's under pressure anyway. I mean, he's got to come out firing, man. This team can't get out to a 2-5 start. They got to come out. They got to go to Brazil to play the Packers. That's a tough opener. Yeah. You know, just to go to, you know, 12-hour flight to Brazil, you know, is going to make that a tough opener. And they got the Packers, Jordan Love, Jalen Hurts, great matchup. But, yeah, he's under a lot of pressure whether Bill Belichick is out there or not. You know, I did see that article and I glanced at it and I thought that there was a good point that the writer made. I don't know if this was in a quote or not, but they said that when you hire Bill Belichick, you get all of Bill Belichick. And does that mean he's going to leave a big thumbprint on the personnel decisions? I mean, how much impact and how much of an influence is he going to have, you know, on the personnel in that room? If he's not happy with who the Eagles draft this year, for instance, and he comes in next year and says, hey, we don't like whoever it is, you know, what are the Eagles going to do? I mean, you know, Bill Belichick's not going to just roll over and just be a coach. He says, yeah, I'll just be a coach. But, you know, he's going to want to get players into the building. What he wants to do. Yeah. So you're going to have to probably tear things down when you hire Bill Belichick to build them back up. I mean, I don't know if Bill Belichick will get another job, to be honest. I mean, in this day and age, in this new NFL, you know, every year it changes. And Belichick's, what, 71, 72?
Yeah, I don't know. Post-70, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't put too much into Howie and him talking because that's just what Howie does. I mean, he does his homework on everybody, coaches, players, front office members. I mean, he's very active, Howie. He's not just, you know, sitting on the couch watching, you know, television. he's busy, man. Right.
He also tried to get Josh McDaniels at one point. So he has tremendous respect for that organization. But
you're right. They were close to Josh McDaniels.
Yeah. I look at this, Ed, and say, boy, you talk about San Paolo in week one. The Packers are going to be one of those sexy picks because they closed last season so well and played so well in Dallas. If they go out there and wax the Eagles, say it's 35-21, it's going to start really quick for Nick Sirianni, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, even if they win that game and lose their second, I just think any early season loss is going to be like, oh, here we go. They got to win the following week. It's just each week is going to present its own level of pressure. You know, and even if they're sitting at 6-1, I mean, yeah, okay, Nick saved his job, but we'll be like, okay, now what? They were 6-1 last year, whatever they were. He got 10-1, and then the wheels fell off. So is this a sustainable model at 6-1? There's still going to be questions. There's going to be questions every single week.
It's going to be a tough season. Going to be a tough season with these expectations.
Yep.
Ed, before we let you go, just real quick on this, speaking of Nick Sirianni starting out the season on the hot seat, let's say the Eagles do have a great year and everything's great. They go on, they go to a Super Bowl, deep playoff run, whatever. They win a Super Bowl. Has there ever been a team to fire a head coach and replace them immediately with their offensive coordinator, like could happen in Philadelphia? Because I know it's been an interim tag during the season, but at the end of the season, I can't think of a successful team that ever fired their head coach to replace them with their offensive coordinator.
So if the Eagles win a Super Bowl, they would not fire Nick Sirianni.
I know that, but then Kellen Moore goes elsewhere. And then the vicious cycle repeats. Part of it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what you get. I mean, that's what you get. You got a Super Bowl. You know, okay, see you later. Yeah. You know, we'll bring Brian Johnson back because he's going to do great things in Washington, right? there's always another guy. I mean, listen, if that happens, yes. And back to John's point about Belichick possibly being a head coach, Mark, that's a good point. I mean, listen, I think your head coach, your next head coach, if this thing goes sideways, is going to be Kellen Moore. You know, he was interviewed in 2021 when the Eagles hired Nick Sirianni. So, I don't think Belichick's coming through that door anytime soon Philadelphia.
Ed Kratz, great catching up with you, man. Thanks so much. SI.com and so much more. Ed, thank you so much, brother. Appreciate you.
Yep. Good seeing you, Mark.
Seeing you as well. Good seeing you. Good to catch up with Ed. Haven't seen him in a while, man. All right. We'll be back. Now, we're going to look at that coaching tree. We're going to look at that story as well when we talk about Bill Belichick. Good eye by you, John McMullen. I'm just looking at it right now. It does pose an interesting thing when we talk about Nick Sirianni and his job security. We'll be back here on Birds 365 coming up in a few.